Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I saw Dana Lash was on with Laura Ingraham last night, and a great back and forth talking about, you know, Tim Walz, Elmer Fudding, the shotgun there, and the other day while, you know, pretending to pheasant hunt. And then Dana Lash was talking about Kamala Harris's supposed Glock that she claims to own. But, man, John, wasn't that hysterical when we were at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas? I think, were you with me when we were walking down the main hallway and the FBI had like a recruitment booth there? And I was like, I just thought it was so funny that the Peter Strzok FBI was trying to recruit people to work for the FBI at the SHOT Show, you know, one of the greatest gatherings of American patriots in the world. And so I was like walking by and I took a picture of the lady at the FBI booth and she gave me this look like, really? Come on. You know, like, I'm manning the booth. I know, you know, it's embarrassing. Why am I here? I don't want to represent this agency right now because it's such a train wreck in Washington, D.C. And so it was just funny because it's like I was taking a picture of the FBI booth and she immediately thought I was mocking her, you know.
Well, you know, these days, why else would you do that, right? Wait, you remember what they did to the ATF? It was Dana Lash and Lauren Boebert 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
They got together, went up to the ATF booth, and started asking them questions. And none of them could answer them. So then they have to call more agents over. And they end up with seven guys there at the booth. None of them can answer their questions.
Apparently, unlike Kamala Harris's campaign commercial, they actually are afraid of women when it comes to Dana Lash and Lauren Boebert. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have seen, and I have seen, both of us seen the stare, the wicked stare of Ms. Lash. And you do not want that on you.
I didn't get the stare. You got the stare.
Yes, I did, because of you.
this was hysterical. You know, I was laughing about this earlier because John Jackson and I, you know, we got to go meet Dana Lash and her husband in you know, their working suite at the SHOT Show down in Vegas at the Venetian. And it was fun. You know, we go in and I say, hey, Dana, you know, I'm Aaron. I do this Montana Talks show and your program comes on right after us in Missoula. Great. And this is John Jackson. He's a former Fed. And, oh, man, they were about to pick you up and throw you out of there.
Oh, they recoiled like you threw holy water on them. I just say, no, I am not retired ATF or FBI. I'm with the good guys. And they're like, okay, all right.
Hey, okay, I know we've had this disagreement before, but I've gotten the honor of working with some incredible FBI agents during my time overseas. Met a great FBI agent over in Livingston. We need to get him in studio and have you guys go toe-to-toe, you know, Fed versus Fed one of these days on Montana Talks.
Here's my history with them. I found a couple that one-on-one, they're okay, but at the end of the day, they have to deal with their bosses, and their bosses are always a-holes, so that's what you end up with is the a-hole policy forced down your throat.
Yeah. That's like, you know, it kind of sounds like Democrats. You know, you'll meet some nice ones, but at the end of the day, they still got to answer to the party bosses. Exactly. And Helena, and all right, well, let's see. We got some great callers on the phone lines. John Jackson joining us for the next 2 hours, the most unwoke 2 hours of the week.
Securing America.
U.S. Army Secretary Christine Wormuth addressed the annual meeting of the Association of the U.S. Army Monday, saying the Army has to adapt and change because
everyone here knows the world is getting more dangerous and uncertain.
Wormuth says the Army is updating weapon systems and adjusting its force structure, but despite feeling it's the world's best, also needs to change its mindset for the modern age.
We need to start thinking and acting more like underdogs. We need to push ourselves to build a stronger culture of innovation inside the Army.
The Secretary adding the military as a whole needs to work with Congress to eliminate red tape that slows things down.
We need to be able to produce more things we need, like drones and missiles, more quickly and in larger numbers.
Because, she says, the bottom line is
time is the one thing we don't have to spare.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John, before we get into the phone calls here, you were saying, you asked me a question before we kicked off the program. You said, hey, are you following this big story with Kamala Harris? Now, there's a few big stories with Kamala Harris that I've been following. One of them I want to save for the 9 o'clock hour of the show, her campaign commercial trying to target men. It's freaking hysterical. We'll save that one for the 9 o'clock hour of the show. But tell us, what's the big story from your perspective in the last 24 on Kamala Harris?
Well, I know this is going to shock you to your core, Aaron, but it turns out that Kamala Harris plagiarized at least a dozen sections of her book that she wrote back in, what is this, 2009. It's called Smart on Crime. You know, if you've heard her record on as being a DA and an AG, yes, she was really smart on crime. But some of this, she actually pulled directly, cut and paste from Wikipedia, if you can believe that. They've got her on a dozen places in her book. And then as they start looking into more of this, do you know that famous thing that everybody's mocked on her for years now, where she was supposedly at a civil rights thing and her mom asked her what does she want? She said freedom. You know that story?
No, I haven't heard that
story. Yeah, that was, she tells that all the time. Freedom. I said that as a little girl at a civil rights rally. Yeah. Completely plagiarized from the writings of Martin Luther King.
Oh, well, the other thing, I mean, why would that matter to the Democrats? Joe Biden had to withdraw from the presidential race in the 1980s because of massive plagiarism. And then, of course, we had John Walsh, the 6-month senator from Montana, basically had to withdraw from the 2014 U.S. Senate race for, he basically plagiarized his entire war college thesis. They ended up scratching his name off of the list at this plaque at the war college. Yeah, no, it's crazy all around. Well, let's get into the phone lines. Pat in Kalispell first up, and the number for you, 406-294-0970. Pat, what's on your mind?
Okay, this I-128 bill that's on the ballot in November, people need to know how it got there, because abortion is legal in the state of Montana, so why would we need it? They brought out-of-state people to sign the petition to get it on the ballot, and we need to stop letting out-of-state people direct what happens to the people of Montana. It's a terrible bill. It kills a baby as it comes out of a mother's womb, and that's murder. And they mean to stop it. The out-of-state money that comes into the state is mind-boggling, and us as citizens of the state must say no.
Well said, Pat. Well said all around. Pat, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening to KJJR. John, you remember those obnoxious signature gatherers that would harass you going into every restaurant, any store? Sign here, sign here, sign here. And it's like, no. Yeah, millions of dollars in out-of-state funds. And then they paid workers, some of them came in from out-of-state, to collect the signatures to put CI-128 on the ballot to begin with. And now they've got millions of dollars, over $11 million was the last we heard. And she's exactly right. This is a radical abortion initiative. Abortion is already legal in Montana. So even if you're somebody who's pro-choice, why do you think they're putting this on the ballot? It's because this is about much more than just abortion. This is about no limits abortion, and even much more, I think, is what they're doing with this CI-128.
Well, I heard them. I actually heard these frauds, these criminals, out these signature guys out in front of one of the Fusion Fights as I was walking in, trying to get people to sign over the ranked choice voting. And I was telling you on the break, I've seen ads for this ranked choice voting, a ballot initiative in Montana, on Fox News. That's how far they are after this thing. That's how far they want to steal your elections here in Montana. They're taking the money to advertise ties on Fox News. And I listened to the guy's pitch as I'm walking by, and it's a complete lie on the ranked choice voting. And I turn around to him in front of a whole group of people. And I said, you can take that ranked choice voting somewhere else, pal. And he looked so embarrassed because I'd outed him about what it really is, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, that's why the best advice is just vote no. Say no to every single one of these constitutional initiatives. They're trying to mess with our elections. They're trying to mess with our Constitution. Just say no to every CI on your ballot. She goes by the name Tester will not be reelected. She's calling in from Eastern Montana. Great to hear from you. What's going on?
Hello, Aaron and John. Excuse me. Good morning. Thanks to our veterans. Hey, so a few powerful things happened this week. The first was when I realized every traditional organization, whether it be government, news outlets, or church, have all broken the trust and faith I previously had in them. And let me give you an example. We have all our friends on the ground in North Carolina, and John Jackson can attest to this, suffering from a natural disaster that FEMA was not helping with. But every news organization, our Department of Homeland Security, our president, our vice president, essentially calling my friends liars. Traditionally, I would believe our trusted servants or news, but I can't anymore because my friends are the ones actually telling the truth. We have Senator Tester constantly lying about anything and everything, specifically to stay in power, disregarding social norms, disrespecting decorated veterans, and then coming to find out, which was mind-blowing last week, watching the Tucker Carlson interview with Harmeet Dhillon, that in fact, Planned Parenthood has been selling aborted fetal tissue. We can cite wasteful spending and leading to national security issues, but this one really got me. A new story broke, and according to reports, the Democrats, including Biden-Harris, Tester, and the usual suspects, took $230 billion from Medicare for EV tax credits.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. 21 days till Election Day. Hold that thought. We'll come back to you right after this.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Authorities have charged a former Republican candidate for Congress in Florida with threatening to send a hit squad to kill an opponent in the race. William Braddock claimed in a recorded call with a local activist that he would send a Russian and Ukrainian hit squad to kill GOP Florida Representative Anna Paulina Luna during the 2022 primary. Luna won the primary after an endorsement from former President Trump and the general election. The U.S. extradited Braddock from the Philippines, where he moved after the primary. He's charged with interstate transmission of a true threat to injure another person. The Justice Department said the FBI investigated the case, along with the St. Petersburg Police Department, as part of the department's Election Threats Task Force. Police in the Philippines previously arrested Braddock in conjunction with the FBI. He faces up to 5 years in prison. Political violence and threats against lawmakers is an increasing concern on Capitol Hill. The sheer number of threats against members and their families have skyrocketed, and that's made it hard for police to keep up. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Politico's playbook reporting this. The Arab American PAC, the Arab American Political Action Committee, announced it won't back Harris or Trump, a blow to the vice president from a group that typically endorses Democrats. That's according to Reuters. John, you've got that on your list of stuff to talk about. But first, let's talk about what our last caller just mentioned, the Democrats stripping money from Medicare. Was it for the electric vehicle mandate? Is that what it was for?
Electric vehicle tax credits. And then now they already saw back in the summer that the premiums are getting ready to spike because of this. So you know what they did? They went and stole more money to put off that premium increase until after the election. So all you seniors out there, get ready. If you're on Medicare, get ready for your premiums to spike right after the election, after you've already voted.
Oh, here's another headline that just caught my eye. Well, two of them. 30% of the cameras in Border Patrol's main surveillance system are broken. Wow, geez, you know. Is that a surprise there?
Wait, was Hillary going to be anywhere around there? Did somebody get assassinated anywhere? Was Epstein, maybe Diddy's in jail around there?
Yeah, yeah. 30%. But then again, even if the cameras were working, I mean, what are we doing with the cameras? Just simply watching the illegals and the terrorists walk across our southern border anyway. So.
Well, they didn't want you to see them get their phones and their meal tickets and their plane tickets and their bus tickets. They didn't want you to see
that. They don't want you to see all the Democrat-funded NGOs, you know, handing meals and logistical support to the drug cartels. So that's why the cameras ain't working, probably.
Oh, gosh. I mean, we need to get another couple billion in here for these cameras, at least.
Yeah, exactly. And then this was a random headline here. This comes, again, from Politico's playbook. Tribal college campuses are falling apart. The United States has not fulfilled its promise to fund tribal college campuses. So you mean to tell me that not only has liberal Senator John Tester failed to secure the border, which has allowed the Mexican drug cartels to target our reservations, to target Native American women, not only has John Tester failed to fund federal law enforcement for our reservations, not only did John Tester fail to support federal law enforcement going after the drug cartels, but he isn't funding tribal college campuses either. Big surprise.
The only time these Democrats ever even pretend to care about these groups is when it comes around election time. That's when, you know, I'm expecting any time to see him down at Crow wearing a headdress and dancing around. You won't see him for another 6 years, but right now he'll do anything. He'll drop his pants, you know, right now for the next.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I know that's a bad image.
Bad visual. Speaking of that, so we were having a conversation with some guys yesterday, and we were talking, I don't know how we got to talking about this. We got to talking about, you know, the Polaris Dawn and SpaceX. Apparently SpaceX had a really cool, they caught, you know, one of their rockets or something, right? So we were talking about that. And then I was describing how when we talked with the Polaris Dawn mission pilot, Kid Petit, because the SpaceX Polaris Dawn crew, you know, they trained for their space mission over in Bozeman. But when I interviewed him after they got back from space, we were talking about re-entering the Earth's atmosphere. And he said, you know, 4 Gs may not seem like a lot, but remember, when you're flying around in a jet, you experience 4 Gs just for a few seconds. He said, but when you're re-entering the Earth's atmosphere, you're experiencing 4 Gs for like 10 or 12 minutes, I think he said. So the way I portrayed it, it just happened to come out. I said, so the way I took it is if you're re-entering Earth's atmosphere, it is so physically grueling because you've been in space without gravity, et cetera, that it would be like John Tester sitting on your chest for 12 minutes. So that's what re-entering Earth's atmosphere feels like anyway. So.
Oh, Lord, mercy. What was your max that you hit with the Blue Angels?
We got to 7.3 Gs. And that was after about a dozen spins, and I think we got above 20,000 feet on that one. That was cool. Yeah, that was incredible. Otherwise, 2 years ago, I'd have been like, huh, what? I'm not a pilot. I have no idea what you're talking about right now. But now I'm like, oh, yeah, I know what that feels like. Holy cow.
What if those guys have that special gear, the special clothing and compression and stuff and all that? They'd have to, right?
They don't. No G suit. That because the Blue Angels fly so close together, you know, they're wingtip to wingtip within 6 inches sometimes. And so if you have a G suit like most F-18 pilots would wear, then your suit would pump up, you know, to help your body manage the G forces, and then that could move your elbow, which could move, you know, your controls, and then tip your wing ever so slightly. So no, they don't wear G suits. They have to do it all themselves. They have to manage the impact of the G forces on their own without a G suit.
Well, what about the guys coming back in from space? They have to be wearing that stuff, right?
Oh, I'm sure they got some sort of, yes. Oh, I'm sure they got, well, they're wearing special suits anyway. Yeah. But yeah, no, that was a good question. I didn't ask them about, you know, their re-entry suits and how that helped them deal with it. I would imagine it's pretty similar though. So, all right. See, you never know what we're going to talk about here. You know, John Tester sitting on your chest and how that would feel like entering.
See, that's another, you know, that's worse than the image of him dropping his pants, you know, in my opinion. It's actually worse.
But I also think that's symbolic of what he has done to this economy. You know, the harm that they have caused to the economy, it's like John Tester has just been sitting on the chest of the national economy. and our economy is just sucking air trying to stay alive.
Where is he, by the way? I mean, he is everywhere, appearing everywhere. I mean, Tester's hiding under his desk. I mean, you don't see him appearing anywhere.
He's starting to finally poke his head up a little bit because he's getting desperate, because I think he's so worried about losing this race with how bad the polling is and everything. Let's see. Let's get to another caller. We got Tim in Billings on the line. Tim, what's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, that's a big desk that John Tester's hiding under. But anyways, so I just recently read, and I don't recall what the source was, but it was somebody that was reporting on the Trump fraud case in New York. The appeals court is hearing the appeal from Donald Trump on his cases that Letitia James brought on the valuation of his company. And there was three aspects of this case that the appeals court asked the attorney general's office, you know, where they thought they had cause to bring this case. One was was there any statute that had ever been, where this had ever been used before, and there was none. Was there ever a statute where somebody who was supposedly defrauded came and testified on behalf of the defendant, and there was none. And unfortunately, I don't remember the third. But from what the report that I read said, that basically the attorney general's office in the state of New York was excoriated by this appeals court. They basically were begging to not be censured because of these cases that they brought against Donald Trump and his organization. I have a feeling that those cases are going to get thrown out here shortly. I know that they heard the case like 18 days ago or something like that, but... And of course,
it looks like they're about to throw everything out, all these absurd political persecution attempts against Trump. That wouldn't surprise any of us, I don't think. In fact, that might explain why they've been delaying these cases against Trump as well, because they're afraid that the faster it makes it to appeal, the faster it gets thrown out. Before we get to Tiffany and Kalispell on the phone lines, John, your thoughts?
Oh, no, absolutely. You and I covered that extensively back when they first brought it. And the two things that comes to mind immediately on that is, first of all, they don't have jurisdiction. This is a local DA filing federal charges. He doesn't have the jurisdiction to do that, first of all. And then second of all, it's beyond the statute of limitations. And they're breaking the law by charging it. They're trying to attach it to some other thing that does not work at all. That, just those two things right there, kick it out of any court in the land. And there's several other things on the list, too, that would kick it out.
All right. Next up on the phone lines, Tiffany in Kalispell. Great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Hello, gentlemen. Hey, if you guys can, I need you to help with a marital dispute. So I finally got my ballot, as in
John and I are tiptoeing. We're tiptoeing out of the room. We're like, I don't want to get in the middle of this. You want to get in the middle? I don't want to get in the middle of it.
I thought I might make you, because you squirm a little. So been chomping at the bit to see the ballot, to see the specific wording on C-128, the abortion initiative. And do we know who was there, somebody that stepped in to correct or confuse the wording on that initiative? How do you guys know how that works? Or because it clearly did not give any specifications.
Oh, yeah. So first off, what's the marital dispute here? Neither of us are licensed marital counselors, but we're happy to throw out bad advice all day. You know,
public radio, so I don't want to sound like a complete moron. But I was under the assumption that maybe the Supreme Court stepped in about how the wording was, our Montana Supreme Court, because I know they've been doing a lot of things that they shouldn't be doing in ways of like legislating from the bench and that kind of thing. But my husband said, that's absolutely not true. I was like, well, somebody made sure that this was worded very specifically. And for whatever reason, that was in my mind. And so if he's right, that's on.
Well, I'll tell you what, as usual, the woman is right. And, us husbands can't even find the ketchup bottle when it's sitting right in front of us. And so I think your husband's going to have to go do some corrective training at the gym later today because, no, you're exactly right. No, the language was written. The Secretary of State, the Attorney General's office signed off on the official ballot language. But the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court said, no. We want to make sure that this thing is carefully, deceptively crafted so that it benefits the Planned Parenthood radical abortion lobby. So you're right. That's exactly what happened.
Oh, you guys have made a wife's day. Good job. Carry on, fellas. Carry on.
Tell them to do push-ups. Burpees.
I'm going to make sure this is recorded. Thank you so much.
That's right.
Have a great day, you guys.
You go enjoy a nice brunch. Have some, you know, champagne.
On him. Yep.
Taco Tuesday, and he can go do some burpees to pay for
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How are these guys the grand poobahs of everything that happens in Montana? They're writing ballot language. They're appointing these commissions to go after the AG. I mean, what's next? Are they going to tell us what our water rights are? I mean,
of course. Yeah, that's the Supreme Court.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, no, that final point there by John Jackson, the Joker from X here joining us in studio, was a great point. Why does this liberal mob on the Montana Supreme Court, why do they get to dictate what the specific ballot language is going to be? But, John, that's what they have done time and time again. They don't think that the executive branch matters. They don't think that the legislative branch matters. These tyrants in black robes will abuse their positions of power to do everything, even down to the word, even down to the grammar of a constitutional initiative on the ballot. These people have been bought and paid for by the Democrat Party, by the radical abortion industry, Planned Parenthood, etc. And so they are going to use their positions of power to do whatever they want, which is why we've got to support the sons of Montana, Corey Swanson and Dan Wilson, for the Montana Supreme Court.
And there will come a day, and that day is coming up quick, where the citizens, the legislature, whoever, the people of Montana will say, are just going to have to say no. They are going to abuse their power to the point to where we are just going to have to say no. We won't do it. What are you going to do about it? Because look at what Joe Biden does. The Supreme Court has told him twice that he cannot use our money to pay back everybody else's student loans. But he just keeps on doing it. That's what Democrats do. There will come a point here in Montana where we as the people are going to have to say, nah, we're not doing that.
That's right. Let's go next to George in Billings on the phone lines. George, what's going on?
Well, I just have to lighten it up a little bit, fellas. I was at church here in Billings this weekend, and a pastor told a cute little story about the election. His family member up in western Montana has a little four-year-old girl, and the mother went outside, and the little girl had to open her hand. She had a caterpillar in her hand. And her mom says, boy, that's a beautiful caterpillar. She says, have you named it yet? The little girl says, yes. She said, well, what's his name? He says, Tim Sheehy.
So, okay, I guess I'm not getting the joke. What's the joke?
Well, the little girl obviously has been listening to Tim Sheehy's election.
Oh, so that's all, yeah. Oh, so when she named, yeah.
Named her little caterpillar Tim Sheehy.
Oh, that's funny. Because little kids, they love caterpillars, right? They're fuzzy, they're cute.
Yeah.
So what did she want to name her pet? She wanted to name it Tim Sheehy.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's funny that you mentioned that. Okay, I get it now. Yeah, I was, because at first I was kind of like, John and I were kind of looking at each other like, I think this point is actually, I had a friend and she told me that she thinks and she's very politically astute. Let's just say she's in Helena. She's very well connected, politically astute, et cetera. She thinks one of the critical errors that the tester camp made this year was coining the term Shady Sheehy. And that she believes that they actually turned Tim Sheehy into basically like a celebrity, especially with younger people, when they used that term against him, that term actually backfired on him, and that they made Tim Sheehy kind of a household name now. And that story kind of highlights
that,
right?
Yeah. I thought that was kind of a cute little story. This little girl really liked that, Tim Sheehy.
Well, don't let the Democrats find out what church you go to, because they'll try to prosecute your pastor for, you know, for the mere mention of Tim Sheehy's name. All right, George, great to hear from you. That was good. Let's see. Let's get to another caller here. Let's see. We've got the Mighty Human Z on the phone lines. And, of course, for those who don't know, the Mighty Human Z does a Rumble podcast with John Jackson, the Joker from X. So you can check them out, Behind Enemy Lines on Rumble. Z, what's going on?
Look, I'm here. It's all show, guys. All show. I'm here to talk about the constellations. And I'm here to talk about karma on the constellations. And we're unburdened by plagiarism of the past, because those words on the page, don't look at them as words. Look at them as letters, not even letters. Look at them as points. Because it's a constellation. And what does that show you? It's an outline, John. It's an outline, Aaron. Come on. What does it show you?
See, you've obviously been working as a speechwriter for Kamala Harris's team. Are you the only guy above the age of 19 that's working on her speechwriting team?
I forgot the chimes to go in the back as I recited that. I'm working on it. The incense didn't go off either. I can't get that lit. So, you know, I don't know. I think they're going to fire me. You know, but that's okay. I'm here to undermine and to subvert the subversion. That's what I'm doing.
Hey, speaking of constellations, Z, did you see the Northern Lights in Michigan this past weekend? All our friends in Northwest Montana in particular have had a stunning Northern Light show. Have you been able to see that in Michigan as well?
Oh, they were outstanding. They were outstanding. Yeah, I had to go outside the city limits here because we got all the noise pollution. But it was just absolutely incredible.
That's awesome.
Incredible. You know, the thing is that if you're on the grid, because there's some, if you Google Charlevoix, Michigan, there's some just fantastic photos there because it's right on the water, and it's just an amazing, it's an amazing time, you know, from that perspective. With we're talking about constellations and celestial events, you know, with that corona 2 days in a row, it's just like, you know, holy cow.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's absolutely beautiful.
I don't know how people can look at that stuff and not think, maybe there's a creator. How do people not see that stuff and not think that there couldn't be a creator of this this crazy planet that we live on? Well, Z, great to hear from you. Always a pleasure. John Jackson, he sounded just like one of Kamala's speechwriters there.
On the Fox News radio briefing, and you know Fox News radio, they might as well be CNN. It had...
Yeah, a couple of their people are
pretty
suck. Liberal.
There's
some good ones. There's some really good ones. Jeff Manasso is good.
Manasso.
Out of Chicago.
But mostly their messaging sucks. I mean, they might as well be CNN. But this morning, they had to report, and I know it hurt them, I know it killed them, is that Michigan is now listed as a toss-up state. And, you know, like our buddy Blue follows that polling every day. If they are having to call that as a toss-up with the way they are managing these polls, that means Trump's probably ahead by five.
Actually, way further ahead, yeah. By the way, you know, interesting sidebar. I was talking about how you and the Mighty Human Z do this podcast on Rumble. He's in Michigan. You're here in Montana. Some people might wonder, how did these two meet? I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the two of you met at an Indigo Girls concert several years ago. Tim Walz was there. He had some friends with him and everything.
It was Bette Midler. It was a Bette Midler concert, and it was when she was doing her final encore of Wind Beneath My Wings. That's where we bumped into each other, and yeah, it's just a history from there on out.
It's like a Beaches reunion. It's a beautiful thing.
We also have our buddy Blue, who is on there, who's our third guy on the podcast, and he is a retired big city cop.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, it's been so cool. You know, I see all these crazy names on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, with these crazy profile photos, providing some really good insight. And you always wonder who these people are. It's like, man, I'll tell you what, there's some incredible military, law enforcement veterans, others there who really have their, you know, their ear to the ground with what's going on across America. And so, yeah, it's been great to get a chance to hear from so many of them. Let's go to Ryan in Kalispell next up on the phone lines. Ryan, what's going on?
This is my first time calling in to Montana Talks.
Hey, cool.
And on October 28th, I turn 50 years old.
Hey.
And I was born 3 months premature. And because of a need for oxygen, I was put in an incubator, and that damaged my retina, and I became totally blind. But I'm I'm very thankful to be living here in the United States. I would appreciate the prayers of everybody. Unfortunately, my mother passed away from dementia recently, and also I don't have a job now, so I would appreciate everyone's prayers for various needs. But also, I'm unashamedly pro-life, especially since I was born 3 months premature. And when is the Sheehy campaign going to start going on the offensive and doing some good pro-life ads, telling why he's pro-life? And the Tester campaign is making us who are pro-life look stupid with their ads.
Interesting. Well, there's one ad in particular that I saw, and I need to go find it. This was a beautiful ad. It was about a little baby named Loic, I believe. L-O-I-C.
I just said.
Okay, cool. All right, sorry. I was trying to figure that. Well, first off, thank you for sharing your story. So there's this baby named Loic that I believe is fighting for – the baby's fighting for his life here. And I need to go back and find that ad because, to me, that's the most powerful pro-life ad without saying the word abortion at all. But that's a good question that he throws out there, which is, you know, Tim Sheehy's focused on the economy, securing our border. That's clearly what the voters are focused on as the top issues. My question is not why isn't Tim Sheehy putting the pro-life ads out there? Why isn't the pro-life community putting the pro-life ads out there? Why aren't they getting the big donors from out of state, et cetera?
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I mean, we have a campaign now that is sending out surrogates to lie that and compare Trump to Hitler, the end of democracy. You know, he's going to sign a national abortion ban, none of which is true. And he's against IVF, not true. The person that has to start answering questions, real questions, are Kamala Harris. About what, you know, her 12 million plus unvetted Harris Biden illegals. Well, why do you want to decriminalize it and offer free food, housing, health care, education, your running mate, legal driver's licenses and a college education, people that you haven't vetted, and they've come from over 180 countries, including our top geopolitical foes and countries with terror ties.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, everyone. The 2024 election is on our doorstep, and Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are knocking on your door. They're pushing for higher taxes and even taxes on unrealized gains. Could you imagine that? Paying taxes on something you never took profits on? What would that do to the economy? Will they come for your retirement savings? Will they come for your house? Who knows? But don't wait to find out. Learn how you could protect and diversify everything you've worked for with the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Goldco has over 6,000 five-star reviews, a bunch of awards, and has helped people just like you purchase over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. Call 855-815-GOLD to get your free 2024 gold and silver kit, plus up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Learn how precious metals like gold and silver could help you. Call 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD.
Paid for by Goldco. Co.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Everyone knows that prices for just about everything have grown tremendously over the last few years. What's less obvious and less reported on is that the economy has grown tremendously as well. That's especially true in mountain states like Montana. When you ask the question, what percentage of the jobs lost during the pandemic has Montana recovered, you get an astounding answer, more than 150%. That's the kind of growth that helped state government record extraordinary budget surpluses in the immediate wake of the pandemic, some of which were returned to taxpayers as rebates. That's a great good news story, except for one thing, it's history. State revenues are not growing double-digit rates anymore, far from it. In fact, in the most recent fiscal year, which ended June 30th, state tax revenues actually fell when corrected for inflation. And we're not alone. Former high-flying states like Utah and Nevada kept us company with their own declines in inflation-adjusted tax revenues. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Or Candidates Committee, www.americancrossroads.org.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right back into the phone lines. Great caller on the phone lines, Dylan in Lodgegrass. Great to hear from you once again. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron and John. It's good to hear from you guys always. Hey, I had a question or kind of a statement. I heard you guys talking about even Tesla ads showing up on Fox News Channel or something like that. But I don't know if this is don't want to hit this home at all or whatever for you guys. But this one, I listen mostly on the Montana Talks app. I don't get a whole lot of radio. Don't do a whole lot of radio, but I listen to the app. And on Startup, that thing, at least 90% of the ads on when that thing starts up is a tester or anti-Sheehy ad.
Oh yeah, it's like crazy, that. Isn't it?
I don't know if that's something to
John Tester.
I don't know how that works for you guys.
John Tester is too chicken to come on and take phone calls, but man, he will spend money, advertising on our app. And unfortunately, we have to take it. We can't reject the political campaign ads. Yeah, yeah. What a phony.
Right.
Like, he'll spend to be heard on the very show that he's too chicken to show up on.
You gotta love it. So,
and he's still losing.
I had enough. Hey, gotta love it. Absolutely. We just gotta keep plugging away on our side.
That's right. All right. Well, we're short on time. What else did you want to share?
Hey, I had just a quick comment about the whole Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day thing. We're down here on the Crow Indian Reservation, and there's not a prejudice or racist bone or anything in my body, but I got a lot of blowback yesterday from sharing a post from Matt Walsh about how Columbus was instrumental in his day when he sailed the Ocean Blue in 1492, and I got some backlash, people calling him just terrible things about some of the things he did to people, and it's like, sure, but that's not what the day's about.
Yeah. You know who would be incredible to speak on that very topic is David Noble, who guest hosts the show. He has studied Christopher Columbus. He has studied Columbus in depth, and he could give a fascinating insight on Columbus. To me, the reason why the left, and by the left, we mean the Montana media, the fake news media, the reason they want to keep promoting this divide and keep promoting that day is because they want us to be divided. They want to divide black and white. They want to divide cowboy versus Indian. They want to divide man versus woman, trans versus whatever. And so that's why they want us to be divided. That's why they keep promoting all of this different type of stuff. It's so sickening the way they always try to divide us because they want us attacking each other. And a good man like you and the story you just shared is an example of that. John Jackson, it's just like Barack Hussein Obama. This guy is such a fraud. Remember the speech that got him in the national spotlight? He was at the DNC, and his speech was, "There is no white America, there is no black America, there is only America." He pretended to be this Martin Luther King Jr. style guy. We all knew it was a fraud. We knew that he was just using that line to get elected, because then what did he do? The moment he became president, he started race baiting. He was not a Martin Luther King Jr. style president. He was a Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton style president. And he started dividing this country along racial lines so he could politically benefit from it. And that's why race relations got worse after Barack Hussein Obama, not better. And now he's lecturing black men who don't want to vote for Kamala Harris.
And anybody that was actually paying attention back then knew that. Rush, like you said, Rush Limbaugh said, if you think this is going to make race relations better, it will not. And all you had to know about Barack Hussein Obama was whose church pew he sat in for 20 years, the Reverend Jeremiah Wright.
That's right, who said GD America. Hey, we ran out of time. We're going to clear up the phone lines because we got to reset for the 9 o'clock hour, and it'll take us a few minutes to get the ball rolling in the 9 o'clock hour, but we'll have open phones with the Joker in the 9 o'clock hour as well. There